Who swings?
Everybody dies.
Space race.
All that and more on this episode of Otaku Diaries.
Hello! Welcome to the Otaku Diaries, the show where we just gone crazy, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Gone completely and utterly batshit insane.
You haven't even begun to understand crazy.
We're going to go, I think we're now raging war. That's the thing. I don't know. Well, either way, I am Tetris Dork. There's Rack Attack Force.
Okay.
And also, Toon Faithful.
Yep.
Cheddar.
Hey.
And our special guest this week, Sketch.
Who the hell do you think I am?
Easy.
You are a pony.
Yeah, and also...
This I had week, to be here for at least one Gurren Lagann episode.
And rightfully so, because we're nearing the end of Gurren. Gurren Lagann, this week we discussed Gurren Lagann episodes 23 through 26, Haruhi 4 through 7 broadcast order, and
after this, we're going to be recording the next episode, which has the last one. So
yeah.
That's a lot of Gurren.
Yeah, and don't forget, we also have to discuss Outlaw Star.
Yes.
Episode 8 through 11. So, what do we want to start off this week with? Anyone?
I say we go in order and start with Haruhi.
Haruhi?
Okay, Haruhi 4%. Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, I gotta get my list out.
Let's see, Haruhi. It's exciting of whether or not an otaku or person getting into anime should handle broadcast order. This is the point where it's like, yeah, maybe broadcast.
I think if somebody just wants to have an easy watch and not think about things too much, they should just go with production order, because I don't really see the point of watching it in out of order. I guess maybe it draws out the best parts to the end, and
yeah.
In the first couple of episodes, it's like, what's going on here? But it just makes it confusing. Like, you see characters like that you haven't even been introduced to before suddenly appear, and like people are talking about events that haven't happened.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it just seems
like
what's the point?
Like in episode 4, we got the boredom of Haruhi, in which we meet another character of the Kohei, right?
Yeah, and just in case you think things are normal, the guy pretty much out explicitly says, you know, if we lose this match, the entire world's going to end. And Ken's like, yeah. So, obviously, they've talked about this before. And they have.
Or it has happened before, yeah.
All the melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, and by that I'm talking about the multi-parter episodes.
The first off,
those are the first episodes to take place, and everything is happening afterwards.
Yeah, it's strange because now because previously we only knew one strange element, and that was the fact that Yuki may not be what she is, seems to be, like a normal human girl.
And
we found out in the episode 5, which is Melancholy Part 3, yeah, she isn't. She's an alien.
And not only that, but Haruhi is God.
Yes. And then...
Literally.
And
like, literally.
And Mikaru is from the future. And oh yeah, we do meet Kyohei, the guy that we really are first introduced to in the previous
episode. And he's a psychic.
Yep. Who mentions that Haruhi is God.
And that basically all of these strange happenings pretty much the entire SOS brigade is full of paranormal entities that have been observing Haruhi. And the only normie is Kyon. And everyone's all interested in him because Haruhi specifically shows this regular guy. And nobody's sure why.
Because he's normal and not interesting.
And pretty much the exact opposite of everything Haruhi would be interested in.
Then Haruhi in general. Because Haruhi is like considered this weird, multi-talented girl who's, I don't know, torturing Mikuru for every once in a while.
Poor Mikuru.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's funny because Mikuru reminds me of that airhead girl from Air.
Oh, yes!
I just love watching. One, at least Mikuru is not what she seems to be. Like, you can tell that she's kind of, she's pretty competent, but just keeps the whole mild-mannered stick as an act in front of Haruhi. Like, she seems like, you know, she's not a complete ditz. And second of all, really bad things happen to her, so it's funny.
What are the bad things? Episode 4, she gets forced by Haruhi to become a cheerleader.
Yay, I guess.
Yeah. Episode 5, in Melancholic Part 3, she is now forced to wear a maid outfit every time she enters the club room.
And she has to change every time she enters the club room.
Yep. Episode 6, which is
the first part of a two-parter.
Yeah. Another Island Syndrome, which is a murder mystery.
On a mysterious island.
I like that one.
And we don't see the second part until next week's episode. Because episode 7, broadcast order is,
involves Co-President Gun missing.
Yeah, it's essentially what, like, an immediate after effect of the Melancholy multi-part arc.
And also, there's the last episode of the bunch we watched, which is called Mystery Sign. And I really like the plot of this episode because it's just so bizarre. Haruhi is so godlike that when she draws the SOS Brigade's logo,
which in Kyon's
logo, which
looks
is like
a
it looks like a really shitty thing done in MS Paint.
Yeah.
Apparently contains so much information that it warps reality itself. And that just to hold the awesomeness of the logo and put it online, Kyon had to reverse the logo. Because that's how amazing it is.
And it also turns,
like, the logo is so awesome that it transports them to a desert and they have to fight bug monsters.
And one of those bug monsters is actually the computer club president.
who got turned
into
a bug monster
club
because he saw
again.
An awesome logo.
And that is just weird as all can be, but yet I am attracted to it.
I know, it's because I really like that they do this, because at first, if you watch the opening and everything, you think there's just going to be another type of Lucky Star type of show, and then it just suddenly sucker punches you by giving you all this bizarre sci-fi, and I love that. It's like a deconstruction. It makes you think it's a show for otaku, and I guess it still is, but it just hardly subverts it so hardly that, like, you're just taken aback by how sudden the show changes in tone.
It is a weird thing. It just, like, I ignored it the first time I saw season one, and watching it through here, it's like, wow, I actually like this is a good show. It's a
good show. I would not lump it with Lucky Star. In fact,
I would watch anything.
I would wish a pox on the houses of people who compare it to Lucky Star, because it's not. Like, this is
I don't even see how
Cub
can compare to Lucky Star. Doesn't
Lucky Star is Seinfeld, essentially. It's a show.
Yeah, Lucky Star is Seinfeld without
Yeah,
the
I know what Lucky Star is. Just,
you know, anything witty.
Just,
or
it's just
anything.
That I can't see anyone comparing Haruhi to Lucky Star. That'd be like
it's
comparing.
Because of the way
if you looked at a picture of Haruhi, you would think it's a Lucky Star type of Moe show.
Yeah.
Those are not
I would say.
So, Rack Attack, do you have anything to say?
Like, no, not really. I mean, I like these episodes, but there isn't really that much to say about them. Probably because I can't remember all that well what happened in them since that was last week. A lot of weird stuff happened between now and last week, which I won't get into. So, all I can really say is that they were good. They were entertaining. They were outstanding, fantastic, incredible.
But you suggest subjecting like Tomato Surprise into broadcast order out of outside
we'd
of
be
know,
like
statistics.
What is this?
And like you have to watch it in broadcast order. This isn't sadistic.
And like
yeah, most people watched it in broadcast order.
Yeah, I mean, it is broadcast order.
You know the weird thing I
Crunchyroll is
think about Tomato and the show? It took him months to realize what Endless 8 was. Like, just before the first you heard the first episode.
And I'm kind of disappointed that he dropped out, and I'm really disappointed that he found out what Endless 8 was, because I was really looking forward
out. I mean,
to him just slowly discovering the horror that is Endless 8.
Well, just taking him a Google search to find it out, and it took him like 5 months to ask, wait, what exactly is this Endless 8 you guys are talking about?
Didn't we actually reveal it to him?
No, he just looked it up.
No, he just looked
up after I tell him, okay, I will let you skip out on the Atomic Galaxy, but only if you promise watch Haruhi in broadcast order. And he was asked about that, and he just looked it up, and let's say he found out about both the broadcast order thing and Endless 8 after that.
Oh,
and then the podcast became a lot less fun.
Yes.
And then Donnie's came around and we started arguing.
Yay, and that made it awesome again.
And the rage factor went up. Tenfold! 100-fold even!
Faithful, Sketch, what did you think about this, the hard heat that we saw this for this episode?
Who goes first? Me?
Yeah, go ahead, dude.
This batch was, it was fun. I like Remote Island Syndrome, part one. I like the mystery setting it had. I mean, it was a fun episode.
Yeah.
I like mysteries. Really.
It was suggested because Haruhi wanted to be a super sleuth. And it's like, I got this. Yeah,
whatever Haruhi wants, she gets.
But ironically,
Remote Island, gotcha.
I won't reveal the secret ending.
Oh, that ending's next week.
Yes.
It's Sketch.
Yeah.
Your opinion?
Yeah.
Personally, I have to say that Remote Island Syndrome Part 1 is actually my least favorite of the batch this week. Mainly because, one, almost the entire episode is just, like, setting up to part two.
But that took two parts almost of the time. They're just setting up for
two, it felt like a beach episode, and I hate beach episodes. I really hate the voice of that little girl. I'm not even sure who she is.
It's
John's little sister, and in the light novel, she wasn't even in this story. She just added her in for some reason. And took out the guys, everyone getting drunk.
Yeah. English or Japanese voice chatter?
I've been watching all subs.
Okay.
I've been watching the dubs and her voice.
Like the Japanese voice.
Like, I don't know
subs.
Why, but
subs.
Whenever a little girl is voiced in the Japanese version of an anime, the voice is usually terrible. It's just terrible.
Terrible.
It doesn't even sound like a human being.
Oh, man. What does it sound like, a rat?
No, it Boy. Sounds like a
Don't chip... listen to the dub.
It sounds like a chipmunk with the wrong amount of estrogen or something.
That's
no, no, like
an
a
English
Furby.
Voice as
a
well.
Furby is what it sounds like.
Oh, no! A Furby?
And that brings back painful memories for me because there's this one year where I got a Furby for Christmas when I was really young, and I turned it on, but I never found out how to turn it off. And so for the next few months in the basement, it would be, like, really scary, like, if it was dark, because then the Furby would suddenly move, and it would start talking, and I don't want to get into it.
I understand. Right. We had Teddy Ruxpin. That was great.
Furbies are inherently scary. And so is Teddy Ruxpin.
Yes, we should know that.
Teddy Ruxpin looks like a thing.
Oh, Furbies that's
don't
specific.
Even look like things.
Guess,
at least you know what Teddy Ruxpin is going to say.
Yeah, it's a bear that...
That's like, what, 10, 12 different things it could be saying, but you don't know what. That's a horror.
Sketch, what do you think of Haruhi in general?
Well, it's been quite a while since I've watched Haruhi, and I gotta say, my initial impression was, man, I forgot how funny this show is. It's just a delight to watch. It really is. I think out of this batch, my favorite episode is probably the baseball one, just because I like that kind of humor in Haruhi. Either that or possibly the last episode, the one with the big battle.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like suddenly Itsuki can use his superpowers. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah, before I forget, another thing that I hate about the
all of his attack names are Full Metal Panic series.
Go ahead, Chatter.
Also, another thing I hated was that the Furby would always ask to be fed.
Oh, no, the Furby.
But I didn't
what
know
does what that have to do with Furby.
I wasn't even sure if you could feed them. And so I would always feel really bad when I went down there because it was like, I was like keeping a child in my basement and it was starving to death. And now I'm done.
Let's talk about Gurren now. And the fact that, hey, the Earth is safe for now. But now we gotta take it to the anti-spiral.
Side note, question about how, about the moon last sequence actually answered. The huge battleship, that was not the moon. The moon was put into an alternate dimension.
Of course.
They got it back out.
Mm-hmm. And now the tides are saved.
Oh yeah, but before that, while she used tried to commit suicide.
Yes, because he's being emo.
Oh, boo-hoo. Yes. I have responsibility.
I'm surrounded by idiots. I need to go back to my
home. And I do feel bad
country.
For him because it's like he's in a world where being competent is like against the rules.
It even explains
And also I have to say is this is where the series gets into its home stretch, and this is pretty much where things become less fun for me.
Time to grit those teeth.
Like, I think that I really like the arc directly after the time skip where they're being the anti-spiral on Earth. Mainly because they had something to lose. For the first time, they weren't just... They had nothing to lose. Let's go all out. They finally had a population to take care of.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. And with this, basically you forget about everyone on Earth. And then they just go with everyone on the giant warship Gurren. And they go out into space and they go and blow up the anti-spiral homeworld. And it suddenly becomes, there's less at stake. Like, it suddenly just, it goes back to the beginning of the series where they're just these plucky young people going against.
But now they're older.
I wouldn't say that there's less.
And I would also have to say is.
They're fighting for all of, you know, the universe.
Even though the universe wants to end their ass.
Yeah, but it's not, like, in a direct way, like...
Like it was with the previous arc.
Yeah, like
episode 22, it was literally the moon was coming straight into the planet.
How do you drown in space?
Because
I know that they give like actual like an actual explanation for why there's an ocean in space, but how does that work? Is there a bottom to the ocean?
Well, it's not an ocean.
Is everyone inside that ocean? Are those planets drowning?
Yes. Sketch, what do you have anything?
Oh, do I have anything? I have a lot. Okay, first of all, in the episode when Rossi is all like, oh, I'm going to kill myself because I hate having logic in an illogical world. And he's going to talk to his father. I think it's presumed that he is actually his father, not just somebody he calls father. And he's talking to him down in his hometown, home tunnel or whatever. And it says, well, it turns out that all we ever believed in might have been a joke. Huh. That's kind of funny, right? No, it's not kind of funny.
My life has meant nothing.
This is bullshit!
I lost my mother for nothing!
Yeah! But we had to save the food!
That's not cool! And of course, we have that great throwback to Kamina punching Simo to get him in gear by Simo rushing in and punching him, asking him, let's see you grit those teeth!
And also one of the Black Sisters showing up.
Like, wow, you hit me. Suddenly, everything makes sense again.
And don't forget the black sibling with the glasses. I forgot her name.
Right.
Well, she shows up, and it turns out she has a thing for Roxy.
Oh, shiz. You're kidding me.
Why, he has, like, a forehead the size of Alabama.
Yeah. A lot of people want to hit
the man with power. Women like a man with power.
A big forehead.
Yeah, but nobody likes a man with a big forehead.
Bulma did. Oh!
Oh, snap!
Okay.
Okay, also, one thing I'd like to point out as well, in this episode, Leron explains spiral power. It's like... explains that.
You know, I gotta wonder why they even bothered... to explain spiral power, considering nothing else seems to be explained.
And no one got it until Leon said, just had to dumb it down. You're fighting spirit! And it's like, yeah!
So why not just say that?
Love. Fighting spirit and the power of love.
Yeah! So essentially it's machismo. Pure, unadulterated machismo is spiral power. It's going to be the reason why we evolve.
So, yes.
But still, it's like...
The reason why we evolve.
Love and machismo.
Love and machismo.
Like, that's how does that work?
Well, that's why we make babies, anyway.
In the primordial ooze, when we were, like, little microbes, like, did we just believe, I have fighting spirit. That's why I will turn into a boneless fish, and then into a reptile, and then into a dinosaur. And I'll go extinct. I'll find the spirit to move on and become a mammal.
A monkey!
Like, is that how evolution works? That's what they should be teaching in Kansas.
Yes.
Not all bullshit about.
That should be the entire school curriculum for everyone.
Yes, it should.
Let's tell this evolution versus intelligence aside. No, it's machismo. You guys, start pumping up. Let's all watch Pumping Iron. Oh, man. And then...
Learned so much from Gurren Lagann.
No, there's also... Because there's still a little bit more we gotta discuss about it with the whole, what is it?
Oh, definitely.
Everyone dying!
Everybody dies! Okay. Now, I wanna say... Because I am slightly attached to these characters, but really not. Some of these characters we never really got to know.
Yeah,
they're pretty much just extras.
The way that the show just offs them and makes it dramatic, it's powerful, but it's not as powerful as it could have been if we gotten to know some of these characters
better.
Yeah,
it's not like it's not like Kamina's death.
Yeah. It's not like Kamina's death. It's not like
Keaton's death had some impact.
Keaton's death is really the only death in this batch that has any meaning. Because he's actually had more than one line.
Everybody's like, kiss of death.
Like, he's not a red shirt.
Like, come on, man, we're going out in a blaze of glory, just like always. It's like, wait, who are you?
It always had those two partners, like, just fighting until they die.
They'll miss you, two background guys we'll never see again. Like,
I want to feel sad for those two twins dying, but... And then it didn't pass me that much. Yeah.
I actually really hated those twins. I'm glad they died.
Characters mattered.
Like, all they would do is just, like, parrot what Keaton says and, like, yeah, what he said. Like, you're not adding anything to the conversation, so shut up.
And then we get to episode 26, where after Keaton dies, like, this whole world... Everyone on Gurren, on the main Gurren ship, like, is transported into, like, this weird anti-spiral bizarro
dimension.
Yeah.
Where the anti-spirals have control of everything. And I mean, like, everything. Like, they can make a giant background narrator come out of the sky. Like, they can suddenly summon a bunch of mechas that look like things that came out of a tool cover. Like, they can put you in alternate universe flashbacks. Like, that's how powerful the anti-spiral is.
Are we sure the anti-spiral aren't just God? Are we sure that eventually we'll all just become mini-gods?
Who the hell knows?
Gurren Lagann doesn't really consider...
It's batshit logic!
I mean, they literally say, throw logic out the window and do what you feel is best. So I wouldn't look that into it.
And in this episode, we had 26, which I want to discuss.
Alright, so the previous episodes, when lots of people died, they tried to pull on the emotional strings and didn't really succeed. But man, I always get choked up on 26. Always.
I did too.
Yeah.
So good.
Maybe it was the Yoko. I believe it was the Yoko scene that choked me up a lot.
Oh, yeah. That one always catches me off guard. Like, you have the tearful goodbye between Simone and Kamina, and then you get to the Yoko scene, and I was like, oh, her life could have been so wonderful. I'm so sad now.
Married to Keaton, and...
Like, honestly, at first I wasn't even sure what they were doing for episode 25, which is the one where everybody gets trapped into their own little dimensions, which seems very Evangelion-ish.
No, 26 is when they're in their own dimensions.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 26. There's 27 episodes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They just like to go one step beyond.
One thing I want to say about
really
that
sure
is...
what they were doing...
When they were like, all getting picked up,
a flashback?
It seemed
like what is
only
this?
Some of the characters had something significant happening. It's like others are just like making bread. It's like, oh,
yeah,
we're making bread, and now we're going
on a bed. They're working on power lines.
Those couples sleep in the bed.
Good for you.
Oh yeah, Gurren. The Gurren's 26.
Also, I have to say, it's really surreal to see Kamina act like a pussy.
Oh yes.
It is.
It's like, Simo, get down, bag! It's like, you're not my bro! Boom!
Hey, I got my drill back!
Woo! And it was also two Kaminas there. Like, the real Kamina and then the fake Kamina. And also, I like of the song that was playing in 25 and 26, Libera Me From Hell.
Oh, yeah, man.
That is just a weird, epic thing. Rap?
Wait, is that the opera rap?
Yeah.
You think it wouldn't work so well,
weird
but
musical choice
it works really well.
Thank you, people who created that. Anyone have any other opinion? Sketch?
As Kamina is my favorite character, I just love to see him again and to give a proper farewell to him. It's really, really good. Right before the epic final battle. Oh man, the ending of that episode just gets me so pumped up that I hate that the next one is next week.
Yes. That's our odd timing. But now let's go to LSR. Okay, let's see. Last episode, Genghis Poison. Yeah, let's go with that.
What?
Bummer.
Gene gets poisoned.
Oh, yeah, Gene gets poisoned. Oh. And one thing I just found really weird is Malfina removes the poison by spooning Gene.
Yes.
Like, there's literally no explanation given. She's just in the tube and she's naked. And she's spooning Gene. And he's like, let me help you get better. And he's like, aw, yeah.
This feels good.
And he's like, thank you. And then later they
got better.
That, like, it's a real stuff, too graphic, though.
At least they could have done it worse.
Also, is Gene a pedophile?
Wow, how old is Gene? Like, 20 or something?
Well, how old is Malfina supposed to be?
She looks...
I always assumed she was about Jean's age.
Yeah, I always assumed that too.
If not, a couple of years off. Younger.
Yeah, probably a couple of years younger.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, let's just say hanging out with Jim, it does not help. And Jim being, you know, a kid. But yeah,
he's his young ward.
Yeah, oh, that just made me imagine.
That just made me imagine Gene and Jim scaling up a wall like they do in the 60s Batman.
Gene is
come on, Jim, we've got to get to the Outlaw Star.
And let me guess, they're all in their 60s Batman garb.
Batman.
How? Zoom! Forge!
That was the Toonami version.
That's... And then, let's see, they had to fight. Let's see, they fought, they escaped. What was episode 8? Oh, like, that was episode 8. Episode 9. They
are looking for money.
Oh, yeah. And they got Aisha Clan Clan back.
Uh-huh.
No, wait, she doesn't come back yet.
She comes back in the following episode. In this episode, Gene and Jim are trying to get some money since they are in debt.
Yeah, because they blew because of their Fred Lowe.
Yeah. So they tried to kill a dude in order to get some Wong.
Yeah, named Zomba. Yeah.
But they Zomba. Don't kill the right dude, they kill Zomba, a decoy.
What kind of guy has a decoy?
And that's a badass
guy.
Why is a decoy worth anything?
He has so much money, he hires another person to go around and be him.
It's
like,
awesome.
He can't even...
I had that much money.
Yeah, that guy has badass.
I had that money.
But soon they decide, you know what, let's go racing. Boogity boogity people! Sorry, I had to say it, I like NASCAR on Fox.
Oh boy. Okay, first of all, like, is this really even a race? Because I feel like races should be interesting and heart-pumping and fast. And
no, they're not really racing
I guess maybe
so much.
I'm kind
all
of
heading
by
the same
fact
direction.
That this arc also uses the whole drowning in space in a space ocean trick that Grimm just did.
Oh. yeah.
Well,
and
it's a bit Outlaw Star,
and Outlaw Star, considering it was so many years before.
And two, it just feels, I don't know, very not interesting.
It's kind of low key.
I find myself becoming less interested in Outlaw Star. This is strange. I like
Outlaw I told you it wasn't just me.
Now it's becoming less and less interesting. I think it may be because of you.
Hey, I'm with you too, Cheddar.
But it's like, this is... I remember this being a lot better.
Yeah, oh, I know. Dragon Ball GT.
In the dark side.
So, does that.
Like... Yeah, I feel that, and it's not supposed to be low-key, which is why I won't say it's good for being low-key. You can really tell that it's supposed to be super exciting, and no, it's not exciting. It's just a jumble of cliches that other things have done better. And I think the show's problem is, it takes so many of these things, and being cliched is not necessarily bad in and of itself, but it just feels like it's trying to please everybody. And it just half-asses all of these different things. And then just puts it in the same package.
Okay, Sketch, do you want to defend Outlaw Star?
I want to defend Outlaw Star. Well, the thing about Outlaw Star is I do greatly enjoy Outlaw Star. But none of these particular episodes do I enjoy that much. I don't hate the space race. It, you know, it's definitely not like a fast-paced, exciting race situation. I'm not even sure if you should call it a race. I guess
like,
they're judged
race,
by time and stuff.
Like a race.
It's like the most exciting thing that happened was they get caught up in that planetary orbit and they gotta get through the checkpoint before
yeah,
it gets
like,
destroyed.
I was watching today's episodes, and we passed the end of the space race, and it took me one or two episodes to realize that the race had actually finished. Simply because, like, the race just doesn't feel like a race.
I think part of the reason for that is because they don't really show you most of the race. It's like, we're in the race, and then we're at
the race
where he tries to beat up
Majogo.
Like the pod race in episode one. For the lack of a better term.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking. This is the pod race from episode one.
And then suddenly, the race is over.
And the gang is in fourth place.
Oh yeah, it's over.
I think basically the statement that the anime is making is we don't care about this race.
Yeah, let's just end it quickly.
And if we don't care about this race, why should you?
The whole point of the race, basically, is to, you know, get the interaction with the McDougals.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of Gene entering the race. That's his motivation for doing it. It's not about the money or anything, even though they could serve money.
Oh, you totally know it's all about the Wong.
It's all about getting to wear those outfits that Fred Lowe set out for them.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And again, Clan Aisha now is a permanent member. After
because they just don't want to do it that much anymore.
No, we shouldn't
Thank
leave it out in space. Nobody
Aisha
likes to be left
so
out
far.
In space.
Start it up.
I have to say, Aisha Clan so far is really this show's only saving grace. Like, she just saves the episode every time she appears.
By being the comic relief in Whooping Boy.
Like, she's Cartman as a cat girl.
That's the story for me to think about. I can't look at her the same way now.
Oh, like, God, that image.
Like,
that
she
image.
Has the same voice as Cartman.
Okay, which one? Aisha and Cartman? Aisha's voice in Cartman's body? Or Cartman's voice in Aisha's body?
Now, I can see the other one happening.
Do you know the episode, like, the episode Dances with Smurfs where Cartman is trying to sound like Wendy Testaberger, and he sounds like this. Like, I am Wendy. Like, something like Cartman trying to sound like a girl or something.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
I think we just learned something today.
That's disturbing.
You just learned that I am really bad.
I can seriously hear
like
Cartman's
that.
Voice coming out of Asia. I think that would be hilarious.
It was.
Yeah. I think anything comes down
to the I hate you, Gat!
Yes, I'm going home. Now somebody get it of Outlaw Star. Just take Aisha Clan Clan and Photoshop her out of the picture and replace her with Cartman with cat ears.
That would make Outlaw Star. A good thing here.
That
but he'll
be
hilarious.
That right now.
His anger will rise.
I know. If somebody wants to like abridge the show, and I'm sure there is already. If somebody wants to abridge the show, they should do something with that.
We just discovered
gold right here.
There are many, many attempts. One in particular has very good production value.
Where?
I
never got into the abridged. I gave up on the abridged stuff a long time ago, and only briefly returned back because of Air Abridged.
I've never been too big into abridged series. Like, the only two I've ever really followed is DBZ Abridged and Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, same here.
Like, the rest feel too derivative. It's like when you have the Nostalgia Critic, and you have, like, 50 or 60 other people trying to be, like, the Nostalgia Critic. And, like, maybe only a handful are really watchable.
I don't know. I really don't want to get into a discussion of what a Brit series I find to be good in which
one. Yeah,
because,
you know.
Yeah.
Because we would be here for a while.
That's a separate episode altogether.
Series other than Dragon Ball Z and Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged, there's plenty of good ones out there if you try.
I mean, I'm sure there are, it's just that I'm not going to actively look for them.
Air Abridged!
We will recommend Air Abridged
over the Air animated series. We will recommend that. Especially if you've watched Air Original. So, Rack Attack Force, Toon Faithful, anything to add about Outlaw Star?
I was too busy trying to make a Photoshop picture of Aisha Clan Clan's head on Cartman's body.
Ah, thank you.
As much as I would like to really hype up Outlaw Star, because I love me some Outlaw Star, these episodes, they're not bad, but there's nothing special about them. They're just kind of... That's probably the main problem with Outlaw Star is there's so many episodes that are just there.
I think that's a real reason why I find Outlaw Star so dull is that there are good moments in the series, but like there's just so much blandness spaced in between them that I just kind of tune out whenever I watch this. Like, I'm half watching it because... Occasionally, I'll be like, huh, that's kind of interesting. But mostly, I'll be like, oh, really, Gene? You're going to do something for someone? Good for you.
Yeah. Like, that's how I feel with these episodes. Like, I was more attached to Gurren and... Well, pretty much there were a couple of episodes of Gurren that
Even with those shows, even when it's not going anywhere, it does so in an interesting style.
Yeah.
This feels like when it's not trying to do something, or even when it is trying to do something, it always makes it feel like it's such a chore to do it.
Like, yeah, it does.
Oh, well, I better show this. Well, I better do that.
I don't know about that.
Like, that's what I call about the space race. Like, it's all like, oh, well, we gotta finish the space race. Oh, well, we gotta find McDougal. Oh, well...
We gotta pick up Aisha from the Venarian.
We gotta add comic relief to the team.
We need the female samurai that's kind of looks like Kenshin or something around that line. Even though she doesn't...
You know, we've got 26 episodes to fill, so let's just put a bunch of filler in between these two big arcs.
And don't forget about the hot. Don't forget.
Oh, we gotta put a hot spring episode. Oh, we gotta put in a beach. Is there a beach episode?
No, hot springs episode. Just the hot springs.
And that's practically like a beach episode. That's a beach episode for people who aren't near beaches.
The hot springs episode.
If you have both a hot springs episode and a beach episode, then you're just like flaunting it. You're flaunting it.
If you have a hot springs episode and a beach episode, you're most likely a harem anime.
Which is Gurren! Because then
Gurren.
Gurren. Stay classy.
Stay classy, Gainax. Seriously.
Well, since I wasn't on that episode, I gotta say, I just love that Buta is the censor.
Yes.
Buta.
Like, I feel bad for Buta. Like, he does so much for the team, and nobody really, like, gives him props. Like, he even turns into a human for these guys. Like, literally, in episode 26, Buta turns into a person, only for him to get like pwned by like the anti-spirals after
by, like,
5 seconds
logic.
After he realizes that being a tiny little Buta thing was the only thing keeping him from going into one of those weird Evangelion alternate dimensions.
Yes, you got pwned by logic.
That's
seriously,
a
you got pwned by
like,
logic.
How does that even work? Like conservation of like. Mass laws are being broken.
I don't know. Gurren
makes its own rules.
Gurren is better than Glassfleet. I'll tell you that. At least its logic is better than Glassfleet's logic. Fuck Glassfleet. I can't believe I bought it just because of one episode. And one bad line in particular.
Wait, which show?
There's a giant ruin falling in space.
Oh yeah, imagine the Renaissance in space. Oh yeah, and everyone breathes in space.
Wow, that sounds really stupid.
There's a glass, a ship made entirely out of glass.
Oh, I hear that show just sucks. It just sucks so hard.
It does, but somehow the English dub produced one of my favorite lines ever. And it's a long explanation. It was like a dub in episode.
Is it like a line that's only funny in context, or is it like when you can quote?
Kinda. I hate you for being so goddamn beautiful. It's
okay. It's that is kind of funny.
I approve that line. Oh, okay, okay. Oh, I gotta talk about something in the dub of Gurren Lagann. I think it. Was it episode 24? It was either 24 or 25. There were so many things that sounded very homosexual.
Being like, outside of Leron.
This is some serious... You guys are spouting a lot of crap. But it's crap I could really get behind.
Oh. Well, that's my favorite kind of crap.
Oh my god.
You want to come in here, little mole guy? You want to come in?
Oh, my God.
I forget the other ones, but seriously, this is a lot of crap. But it's some crap I could get behind.
Yeah,
okay.
That's pretty much my final impression of this show is complete bullshit. But it's really fun and entertaining bullshit, so I won't mind.
I think it acknowledges it's bullshit.
No, I think it just revels in its own bullshit. Like, it just has like a pool of bullshit and it swims laughs in it.
Oh man.
Like it's just so self-indulgent in how shitty it is.
It is self-indulgent. But I don't think it is.
For Gainax! Fuck you. That is the Gainax product.
It invigorates my manly spirit.
So, you want to get into Best and Worst of the Week?
Let's do it.
Write this thing up. sketch. Want to go first?
I know what my best of the week is. I'm not sure what my worst of the week is. I think you better come back to me.
Okay. Better.
That's the one. Let me see here. Worst of the week? Something from Outlaw Star. All the episodes in this batch kind of blend together and that they're just so uninteresting. So I'll just say Outlaw Star.
Okay.
Best of the week? I would have to say Haruhi Mystery Sign, just because, like, that's really the first sign you get. No, actually, Haruhi 3 is really the first sign you get about how batshit insane this show is.
Melancholy 3,
this is
yeah.
just, like, a really good example of, like, the insanity at work.
Oh, yeah, it's...
It's weird.
Yeah, I like
so
how...
So it's your best worst.
Okay, my best worst? I'll go. My best, I will say... Actually, I'll go Haruhi again and say... I actually enjoy the insanity of Haruhi, The Born of Haruhi. That was a good episode.
I agree.
Like, the entire series so far has been solid throughout. I liked everything. And this is just a good example of it. And worst of the week... I'll say Gurren 24 because I don't know it. After you know the epic space battle with the moon, that's just how it just didn't feel right with the beginning of the whole and final attack against the.
Yeah,
anti-
it feels like that was kind of the peak of the show. Like even if the battles got grander in scale, and they do, like nothing would be as epic as that.
Yeah. Rack Attack, best and worst?
Just gonna pair what you said. Have the exact same best and worst of the week. Week for the exact same reasons.
Boredom and, Boredom of Haruhi and Gurren 24?
Yep.
Alright, Toon Faithful, you back?
Yeah, my best goes to Gurren Lagann episode 26. I like the ending how Kamina gave all the powers back to each other to
oh,
everyone
yeah.
and the music was great. It
oh,
just
yeah.
fit. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and 26 and 25. I think that was the one with Keaton's death.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with that one too. And worst has to go to Haruhi episode. What was that? That was a weird one. I think it was five.
Five was Melancholy Part 3. Four was the baseball episode. Five was Melancholy Part 3. Episode of six was the murder mystery episode Part 1. And seven was the giant crab episode, or the cockroach episode, or whatever.
Oh, God, I'm confused.
Giant enemy crab.
Weak point for massive damage.
Memes, what would we do without you?
I have no idea. I forgot. Come back to me.
Sketch, we delighted long enough.
Right. Okay, I'm going to say... Probably my least favorite episodes are, I'm going to say it's either the first or the second of the Space Race episodes. I forget which one I liked better. They kind of blend together. I don't want to say both of them are the worst of the week, but one of them is.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's the problem with Outlaw Star. It's just so... It feels so nondescript to me that I can't even pick out individual episodes. I just think the episodes around this point in time, like the episodes where this happened.
Yeah.
And your best?
And best, oh, without question, episode 26 of Gurren. I can't think of a better setup episode to the ending.
Oh, I agree.
I can't think of an anime that has a better setup.
Oh, yeah, I felt like it was kind of painful waiting a week. Like, I need to know how this ends.
Yeah.
Nobody could do that. Anybody who had the episode on hand, they would just go straight to 27.
Yeah.
They're not going to wait. Come on. Who waited?
Oh, yeah.
They'd watch it twice before they would wait.
Yeah. And
it's just, it is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking awesome. I love this show for so many things. It's one of my favorite anime. And this episode is one of the best.
And dude, you got your worst ready, or you just want the fur?
I think it's episode 6. It was
okay.
The one,
Harheem, with the, with the boat, with the, Mystery Island House episode. I kind of agree. It's a setup episode. It would have worked better if you had a second part immediately afterwards.
No, it's not that.
Very
I got
cool.
my episodes confused.
Which one is it? Is it the one with the logo? The one with the one where pretty much everybody just dumps exposition on Kion?
Where Kion was in the car with this dude. And oh god, I think I got him confused.
It's because we're watching them all simultaneously. Last week's and this week's. Well, that's just a weird way to end. Good episode. Thank you, Sketch. Thank you for coming.
And
hey, happy to
hopefully
be here.
Thank you for staying around for the next one.
Thank you for being on here. If you want to follow Sketch, he's on the Real Scratch Pad. He's also on Twitter at Sketch1984. And he's also on another old cartoon podcast. When's the next episode?
When's the next episode? Well, that depends on when this one's going to be released.
Wait,
is it going to be released this week? There's
going
to be an episode up this week. I'm going to finish editing all of the Hub Month episodes, and we're planning on releasing them every day of 1 week.
So it's Hub Week.
Hub Week, yeah! You guys will have lots of podcasting to listen to.
Yay!
Yeah.
And you can follow them on Twitter at NAOCP. If you have anything, questions, comments, criticism, hate mail, I don't care. Email us, realscratchpad@gmail.com. Post on our Facebook page. Search The Real Scratch Pad. Follow us on Twitter, at TetrisDork, at Cheddar, at ToonFaithful, at Rack Attack Force, or at Real Scratch Pad, our overall general Twitter account. And of course, post a comment on this episode's page. It'll on therealscratchpad.wordpress.com. That's it for this week, and stay tuned next week as we go from Gurren to back.
Tune in next week for my drill is the drill that creates the evidence.